ideas of sense gratification. The people in general want to read. That is an actual instinct. But because their minds are polluted, they want such literature. Under the circumstances, transcendental literature like Srimad Bhagavatam will not only diminish the activities of the corrupt mind of the people in general, but also it will supply food for their hankering after reading some interesting literature. In the beginning, they may not like it, because one suffering from jaundice is reluctant to take sugar candy. But we should know that sugar candy is the only remedy for jaundice. Similarly, let there be systematic propaganda for popularizing reading of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which will act like sugar candy for the jaundice-like condition of sense gratification. When men have a taste for this literature, the other literatures which are catering poison to society will then automatically cease. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jay. Om agyamati marandasya, gyananjana shalakaya, chakshuramiritam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha, sri chaitanya manovittam stapitam yena bhutale, svam rupam gadamayam dadati svapadantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastavi Gauravaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So when you engage in this Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there will be rain. There will be a lot of auspiciousness. There will be a lot of results which are coming towards your way. And you have to know how to handle them. Sometimes you will get great scores, sometimes you will get big amounts of money or wealth, sometimes you will get donations in charity, such as vehicles, clothes, other types of paraphernalia, and you cannot get enamored in them. The same way like when they were churning the ocean of milk, Vishnu told the demigods, so many auspicious results will be created, but do not become attached. And you saw there was elephants, horses, beautiful girls. And he told them, you be patient, and you wait for the nectar. But in the beginning, the first thing which was produced, what was that? Poison. So in the same way, when we start churning the Sankirtan ocean, what's the first thing that comes out? Poison. Anartha. A lot of unwanted bad stuff from the heart, from the mind. You're thinking, oh, I was so peaceful, I was happily chanting Hare Krishna in the temple, and now I'm going out distributing books, and all of a sudden I see so many bad things, and I experience so much, let me just go back to temple and be peaceful. But the process of purification in this age is Harinam Sankirtan. Cheta dharpanam marjanam bhava mahadavangini vapanam shreya chayarava chandrika vitaranam vidyavadu jivanam Anandham Budivartanam Pratipadam Purnam Vitasvadanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. You all know this verse? Good. So, because there are some essential Sankirtan verses which one has to know by heart. So the cleansing of the mirror of the heart is taking place on a daily platform, a daily basis, and this is enabling us to taste that nectar for which we're always hankering. So when the poison comes up, don't be disturbed. Don't be discouraged. Just continue churning. And the more and more you continue churning, the more nectar starts to flow. And the more the poison starts to go away. So, there are some more topics we'd like to touch upon. How to become more Krishna conscious dealing with adversities. So we're starting off with that one. Now, initially when we come to Krishna consciousness, everything is new and everything is very nice. And the devotees and Krishna, everybody gives us that initial sukriti, that initial credit. And everything is new and fresh. But after some time in Krishna consciousness, we'll experience some adversities. There will be obstacles, primarily from the mind. The mind, initially, when something is new, the mind says, okay, let's try this out for a while, you know? It's new. Let's see what it is like. Let's check it out. But then after a couple of weeks, a month, the mind says, okay, now what's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's new? What's next? Huh? Okay, we've done this Sankirtan thing now for 2 months or for a year or two. So now let's do the new thing. Every time. Like that's Prabhupada. So what do you get from all this chanting of Hare Krishna? He said more chanting of Hare Krishna. Now for a materialist, this doesn't make any sense. Because you're supposed to move on, right? You're supposed to go to the next level. But if you got something good, if you got something which you truly value, which you truly cherish, then there is nowhere to go. You're already there. You're already doing it. So, the process of Sankirtan, of book distribution, is to cherish and to value and to appreciate what we have got. Even if you don't do anything else but distribute Prabhupada's books and chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds and follow four red letter principles, attend the program, associate with devotees, take prasadam, you will go back home back to Godhead in this lifetime, guaranteed. That is something quite extraordinary. And we have seen the process works, the formula works. We have seen so many devotees who were book distributors and who left this world in Krishna consciousness. And that is quite encouraging. That is quite astounding. Even though some of them went through difficult periods, through hardships, they went through some dry patches, but towards the end, they got very, very serious. And some of them pulled right through all the way, till the end. So, the adversities will come. So how do you deal with your mind? Well, there's different ways you can do it. Depends on your relationship with your mind, it depends on your personality. Some just try to be very harsh and very hard and very rigid with the mind. But that doesn't always work, because then the mind may rebel. Just like if somebody is always talking very loud and very strong, then at one point the mind says, oh yeah, okay, I know it now, you know, let's just go on some other sound vibration, go on some other level of energy. So, how to deal with the mind? It's like a child, you know, always wants activity, always wants to do something, everything has to be playful. So, if you convince the mind that Krishna consciousness is a lot of fun, Krishna consciousness is a lot of excitement, there's a lot of different things happening consciously, then your mind is always busy, is always occupied in things about, you know, Krishna. Otherwise we'll look for other types of engagement, because that's the nature of the mind. Very few people have a mind which is happy if you just tell them, okay, you just sit there in the corner and you don't move and I'll be right back. Sometimes you have to do that too. When the mind gets too disturbing and too upset, then you say, okay, look, you stay home, you don't want to go out, I'm going on Sankirtan now. So you just stay in the van or you just stay in the temple, and I'm going. And I'll meet you again tonight, okay? See ya, bye. Can I come? No, I'm going now. You know, you just want to scream and yell and shout and do all the nasty stuff, you know? No, I want to come. I'll be a good boy, you know? Okay, but you know, if you don't behave, it's back to the van. So, you have to learn how to deal with your mind. Otherwise, mind will always make a lot of noise. Just like now, you hear this machine in the background. It's not so disturbing. Well, we were in the big main stage tunnel, and it started raining. It was very loud. And then they started the pile drivers. Just, you know, behind the little cotton sheet was the pile drivers. Going boom, boom. And I'm thinking, like, it sounds just like my mind, you know? Going like, hey, look this, look that. It's like a, you know, it's a backseat driver, you know? You're driving, somebody's in the backseat, and goes like, whoa! Hey! and you jump right out of your skin, you know? You almost have an accident. You almost have a heart attack. And you're like, okay, what's up, man? Hey, I just wanted to tell you, you know, this, that, and this, that, and this, that. And you're like, whoa, you know? Relax. Calm down. Cool. Does it sound familiar? Does your mind ever do that? Huh? And you're happy, you know, chanting in kirtan, chanting japa, taking prasadam, distributing a book, and all of a sudden the mind goes, bah, hey, you! Is that? So there's different ways to deal with it. Huh? You can take out your big stick and you say, okay, you see this? You smell this? Huh? And you say, okay, I'll be good. Or you just say, you're alright, it's fine, you know, everything's good. Just relax, you know, it'll be fine. But you know, Krishna consciousness is much more fun, much more exciting, there's much more interaction. So why don't you just, you know, come along and see what's happening here in the Sankirtan, you know? Then after a while, your mind becomes trained up. And then you're in the temple or in the van and you think like, oh, let me take a nap, you know, let me lie down. I think, you know, I had a little bit too much sweet, so I need some rest. And the mind says, hey, come on, let's go, man. Let's go. I see these people here walking by. He would take a book, she would take a book, he would take a book. And you go like, mind, what happened to you? What's wrong with you? Huh? And he's like, come on, let's do this. Okay, all right. Has this ever happened to you? Huh? Yeah. Because you're all Sankirtan devotees. You're fortunate. So we have to train our mind. It's a question of continuous training. And even if the mind is trained, still there will be some little freakouts and some little dramas. And, you know, on a daily basis, this is happening. But don't take it too seriously. Like, you know, there is big rain, and then there is sunshine. Then it's overcast, and everybody thinks, oh, it's all bad. And then the sun comes out. And within 5 seconds, everything is nice. You can be as miserable, as depressed, as lonely, as disturbed as you want. As soon as you go out and take it down and you start giving people these books, what happens? Joy, peace of mind, serenity, calmness, all these things arise in your heart. And all of a sudden you feel like, hey, this is good. I like this. Isn't it? You can be in whatever rotten state of existence you are. Just pick up some books and go out and start talking to people about Krishna. You know, this is about Krishna. You know that little blue boy, you know, who lives to Govardhan Hill, playing with the cows, you know? And they're like, wow, okay, yeah, I like to hear about that person, you know? Who is this fellow? So, adversities are there in the material world. But as we spoke yesterday, 95% are what come just by practicing devotional life. Huh? And the other things you just have to tolerate. So the ability to tolerate is extremely important. But we have to distinguish between an adversity and something which is truly wrong and needs to be corrected. It's like sometimes Sankirtan devotees become indifferent to their body. And they think, oh, I don't have to wear shoes, or I don't have to wear proper clothes, or I don't have to eat proper prasadam. I can just, you know, I'm on a transcendental platform. And then they go back to Godhead pretty fast. because this is a very strenuous activity. This is physically very challenging. So we have to take proper care. Because it's not our body. We're just borrowing it. Actually, the body, it belongs to Krishna. It belongs to Guru. We're just utilizing it right now for their service. It's like you borrow a car from a friend, right? So what's the thing he always says when he hands you the keys?
Don't wreck it.
Bring it back in
one piece.
Pristine condition. Same way how you found it, okay? Or even better. Like you get bored of the car, you know, you put some gas in there and you clean it, you make sure it's nice, because hey, you know, your friend just borrowed your car. Okay? So we just gotten this body from Krishna, Guru has given it to us. So it's not our right to just wreck it, you know? Oh, let me just run it against this wall or against this tree, you know? And then I say, hey, it's all good, you know? We don't need the car anyway. We're spiritual. Well, you can really be in trouble. as all of you who have wrecked their bodies or who have wrecked the Sankirtan vehicle have found out, you know? You can really be stuck. And it's hard. Because once you can't move, you can't move. And then you have to deal with your mind 24/7. As long as you're moving, you can engage the mind and something's happening. But once you lie flat on your back, you know, you're sick, then how to deal with the mind then? Ooh, that's the challenge. Huh? So, Krishna has given us all these faculties, so we have to utilize them in His service. Now there are other adversities, there's some internal adversities, the mind is there, the senses are there, always trying to see different things, to taste different things, to enjoy different things. So like a turtle, a tortoise, we have to learn how to withdraw the senses and keep them within, under the control of the self. Even though we're engaged in this world, not be of this world. Like a lotus flower in a muddy pond of water, is not becoming dirty, is not becoming affected. You can take that lotus leaf and you push it down under the muddy water and it comes right up. And the mud and the dirt water, it just rolls off, as they say, like on the back of a duck. You ever seen ducks? Huh? A duck. Walking. Huh? In the water, it's all wet. Comes out dry. Huh? Completely dry. Before, totally immersed in water. Completely dry. Why? Huh? Feathers. Yes, feathers. Huh? So in the same way, when we're out there in the material world, we have to be like a duck or like a lotus leaf. Huh? We have to understand we are not of this nature. As soon as you think I am muddy water, then you become absorbed in it. But as long as you know I'm of a spiritual nature, I'm of a transcendental nature, I might be right now in the midst of material existence, but I'm of a different nature. And I'm engaged in a different type of activity. Then you will not be affected. And also we have kirtan, we have association of devotees, all these different things are also there. You know, it's like you become immune, you build up your immune system. But still, some residue may be there, you might be affected. So it's very important that we get together with devotees and we hear and chant in a protected environment. Very sincerely, in a very dedicated way. Because from chanting comes all the potency. This is our life and soul, chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So when you chant and dance in the association of devotees, then you become enlivened and your heart becomes very full. And all these little specks of dust which might be accumulated in the mind or in our grosser subtle body, they just become washed away by the power and the potency of the holy name. So we have to allow our heart to be exposed to the holy name of the Lord. In this way, we'll never be affected by material energy. Unless we want to. Unless you want to play with fire. Then you always have that opportunity that is always there at every step. Because love means choice. There's always choice. So, dealing with adversity also means that we learn the art of revealing our mind to other Vaishnavas. Because many times we are faced with problems of obstacles which are too big to overcome right now, at this moment, with our own strength. Otherwise we wouldn't have that problem. So then what do? We reveal our mind to somebody who is more advanced, to another devotee in confidence, and we get good advice, we get good counsel. That is absolutely necessary. I've seen that the devotees who are successful in Sankirtan over longer periods of time, they have very open and deep, profound relationships with other devotees. They exchange their realizations and they speak about their challenges, and they share the nectar of Krishna consciousness with their friends in Krishna consciousness. It's very important. Because otherwise, it becomes exceedingly difficult to carry on. Because the adversities may seem to become insurmountable. But sometimes, you know, you can't cross the mountain. Sometimes you can't move the mountain. Huh? Sometimes it seems like you have to dig a tunnel and go underneath it. Or you have to sidestep it and bypass it. And sometimes you can't do anything. You're just standing in front of that mountain of problems and you think like, whoa. And he might tell you, this is the end, my friend. It doesn't go any further. And what do you do then? Any suggestions?
Pray to Krishna.
Chanting. Yes, you take out the spiritual sound vibration, which can just evaporate that mountain of problems. The entire ocean of material existence, the entire ocean of material problems and faults, can become as big as the water contained in the hoofprint of a cat. Very easy to step over. But it all depends on our realization, on our attitude. But it's important that we speak with devotees very honestly, because everybody's going through difficulties. You know, it's called the material world. It's called life. And we have to deal with it in a progressive way. It's not just, oh, yeah, how is it going? Yeah, it's good, it's all good. Yeah, it's also all good. Okay, see you next year. Bye-bye. You're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay. Or you go up to somebody and you say, okay, how are you doing? And he says, actually, not very good. You say, oh, yeah, very good, very good, very nice. Just carry on, wonderful. See you next year. Bye. But then we actually take the time and we take interest in the other devotees. Especially if you're in a Sankirtan team. That you care for each other. Because then you develop this camaraderie and you develop this team spirit and you develop this ability to depend on each other. Because that is essential. Otherwise, if you always have the feeling it's me against the rest of the world, that's not such a good feeling. It's not just a safe position, you know. But if you know that, hey, there's a few people who think like me, who act like me, we're on the same page, you know, going through the same stuff. It gives courage, gives support, gives solace. Valuing book distribution. Value means we appreciate the importance, the contribution, and the true gift, the priceless gift which we have gotten in these literatures. And you do that by reading Prabhupada's books on a daily basis. So, by reading Prabhupada's books, we get to know and we get to appreciate Prabhupada's books. And we get to know and appreciate Srila Prabhupada. And then, automatically, you'll value book distribution. Because you'll see, if the books are the most valuable thing in your life, then giving these books to others is the most valuable activity. It's natural. It's just automatic. It follows very naturally. Just like, to give you an example, I value good prasadam. Now you might say ordinarily, you know, we just eat and survive and that's fine. But I have to say, I value prasadam. So that's why I love to cook and I love to distribute prasadam to others. But unless you're able to relish and to value something for your own self and you have an experience of it, you can't really share it with others in a convincing way. We were just in South India, in Melkote, and the Sri Vaishnav Brahmin cook we had was this big. And, you know, he would just wear a lungi and a big Brahmin dress. And he had a lot of hairs on his body. He was a massive person. And they've been worshipping, you know, the Lakshmi Nishingadev deity he has in his family. They've been worshipping that deity for over 1,000 years. they're grinding their own spices and their own, you know, grains and flours and dal and this and that. And you could see, here is a person who truly relishes Prashadam. And he loves to cook for others. And it says, actually, in the Shastra, that a cook should be very strong and well-built. Because that shows that he is able to perform his function properly. So, the point was, backtracking, valuing Bhukta-Sipma. We can only value something of which we have direct experience and appreciation. If we don't know what it means, we don't know what it's all about, then how can we value it? We may hear about it, somebody may say this is very nice, but it doesn't mean that much to us. Because we just, you know, we just haven't experienced it personally. So, if we want more people to value book distribution, then we should encourage them to read Prabhupada's books and to go out and distribute them. And that comes to the main point, the main topic I'd like to speak on today, is strategies to increase book distribution all over the world. But starting first with our own selves and with the areas where we are active. So the number one step is reading Prabhupada's books on a daily basis, absorbing ourselves, cherishing the nectar, and discussing Prabhupada's books with the devotees who are around us. And then, naturally, some desire to give these books to others will arise. Why? Because Prabhupada, you know, in every couple of pages he says, you know, go out and preach, go out and distribute these books, give this knowledge to others. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's making these statements all over Chaitanya Charitamrita. Whoever you meet, whoever you are, talk to them about Krishna. We've been wandering to all these different 8,400,000 species of life, and now by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we've gotten the chance to practice spiritual life. So let's give this knowledge to others and make other people fortunate. So how to do that? So initially, we just pick up some books, and whoever we meet on the street, we just show them these books. And we talk about these books, and people will start buying these books. But as time goes on, if we want to involve more people in book distribution, like certain places are small, you can't just put 20 or 50 people on the street. It doesn't work like that. Not every town is, you know, as big as, you know, London, New York, or Moscow. Sometimes you just have to deal with different circumstances. Then we have to utilize our God-given intelligence to devise ways and means, strategies, to distribute books in a most effective way. Now initially, when you start off book distribution, most do it on the street, because that's just the easiest, isn't it? You walk out of the temple or out of your house, and what do you got? You got the street. What's happening on the street? You have people, they're walking there. So you also walk there with the books. You say, hello, excuse me. Are you from here or out of town? Oh, very nice. Here, we're showing these today for all the people who are from here. Or we're showing this today for all the people who are come and visit here. Thanks for coming. Of course you can tell people, hey, you know, I'm coming from here and I'm going over there. And now you take this. And it works. Your story doesn't have to be very sophisticated or spectacular. Like I go to a door, I, you know, knock or ring, people open the door. What do I tell them? Do you live here? Oh, very nice. Then you qualify. You don't need to all the nice people who live here. No, yes, I live here. Okay, good. He won't question, he won't argue, he won't think this is odd or weird. So just keep it simple, you know? Keep it simple. Keep it basic. Just go with the flow. Just find that energy, that mercy of Lord Nityananda. Plug into that nectar flow. And then, after a while, you just start moving around and swimming in that nectar ocean. That the place is actually not so important. But your state of mind, your consciousness, that is very important. Now you can do so many things, but you can't do so many things at once. Like I told in the beginning, I want you to listen. and to focus. And not chant, and not do shopping lists, you know, but to focus. Because we have limited faculty. So you do one type of activity. You start off the street. Some places streets are not happening or difficult, or you don't like streets so much. You know, like some people a little older, they don't want to just go on the street and talk to everybody. They're more comfortable going apartment to apartment or office to office. Or you put a book table in a busy part of town. You know, everybody will come to you. You don't have to go out there. They will all come to you. So you distribute books in Hari Nam. Make preaching programs. Distribute books there. There's no hard and fast rules. You can distribute books anywhere and everywhere. There's no limitation. The only limitation is between the ears. It's our mind. It's like the mind says, no, you can't chant Hare Krishna here. Yes, you can. You can chant Hare Krishna even in the bathroom. Because God forbid, you know, you might slip on a bar of soap and break your neck. So then you better chant Hare Krishna in the bathroom. So there is no limitation. Same way with distributing books. You can't think, oh, I'm now at a family function, or I'm at this engagement, or that program, or this, or that, or the other thing, or I'm going shopping, you know. That's the best thing. Hey, I buy stuff from you, you buy stuff from me, right? That's how it works, isn't it? Just take a book with you every time you go somewhere. People will buy it. Not a big problem. The only blockage is in our mind. We think, oh, it can't be done. So, we have to overcome the mental blocks of what we think has to be done or shouldn't be done or is good or is not good. Now, some things might be easier, some things might be more productive, some things might be more acceptable. You utilize your own intelligence on what works. If it's minus 45 outside, well, maybe you'll go indoors, you know. If it's 50 degrees and heat like anything, well, maybe you go in the shade. Or you go in an indoor place, like that. So use your intelligence. Now, there is a million and one ways how to distribute prophet's books. And I'm sure you're familiar with some of these. You can also go on the web. There's a website called distributebooks.com. There's a lot of techniques and strategies and different videos and information, and you try. But the easiest thing is you just follow what the other devotees are doing. Because we don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know that expression, reinventing the wheel? The wheel has already been invented. Some people already took the trouble, you know, to invent it. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just have to follow the previous acharyas. Those who have been doing it. So, Krishna consciousness is very easy. Book distribution is very easy. It is easy and it is fun. So when you start to engage other people in book distribution, don't tell them, oh, you know, it's going to be tough, it's going to be difficult, there'll be a lot of challenges, all kind of weird people, you know. Just have that attitude and tell them. Book distribution is fun and easy. Can you repeat after me? Book distribution is fun and easy. Do you believe it? Yeah? Mama believes it. What about the others? It is. Just like, you know, you bake some cookies in your house, and you already offered them and ate some of them, and you kind of realize these are good cookies. How difficult is it to give these cookies to others? Is it hard? Not really. It's like walking in the park, you know? It's not really hard. So when you go on book distribution, it's like going for a walk in the park. And by the way, you crack some jokes, and you exchange, you know, some nice discussions with the people you meet. And you give them the best thing you have, proper books. And they give you the best thing they have, their money. And everybody goes home happy. That's what it's all about. But if you start thinking book distribution is like, oh, okay, I'm going now, you know, I'm on my jail term, you know, 7th year now. Got to go and break some rocks, you know. You take out that hammer and you go break your rocks. Like the guy on the, you know, they're making the new road over there. If you walk through the Goshala, you know, they take those bricks and they break them to make the top, you know. If you think you're like that guy, you know, just the chain and the big iron ball is missing, you know, then it's not very, conducive for your positive attitude in developing Christian consciousness. So how to engage others? Okay, you're already engaged, huh? You're already doing your thing. You got a good thing going. That's fine. How to engage others? Well, first of all, you have to start talking to them. Have to talk to others. Yeah. You have to talk to others. You have to listen to them. You have to help them. Okay. What can I do to make your preaching or your book distribution easier? Can I help you in any way? Huh? What do you need? You need books, you need a vehicle, you need a spot, you need a table, you need some prasadam, you need some organizational skills. You know, let's get this organized. Most of the devotees in this movement will join a Harinam Sankirtan party. They will join a book distribution party. They won't initiate it. They won't organize it. But if it's already going on, they will take part in it. So you have to become the leaders of this book distribution and preaching effort. First you get yourself trained up, and then you start training up others. Just like my friend and mentor in ISV, it's kind of Silicon Valley, Vaisheshika Prabhu. Every person who becomes part of that temple, that congregation, there's a couple of hundred people there, actively involved. Everybody. It's just natural. You go to the temple twice a week, and you chant the different prayers and shlokas, and you hear the Bhagavatam and the Katha, and you distribute books. It's just part of what you do, you know? It's just part of the program. They don't question. They don't say, you know, wait a moment. No, it's just, this is the program. Right? Just like you go to the temple, you don't question. Why do we first have to go to Nishingare, then we go to Panchatattva, then we go to Radhamadhava, then we go to Prabhupada, then we go to Bhagavatam, then we go to Prasad. Why not the other way around? Well, some try, you know? But it's the role of the program. But I mean, you have to be trained up. You have to be convinced. You have to be exemplary. They have to watch you and learn from you. You have to spend sometimes a little time off from the streets, from Sankirtan, to train other people, to help them to get out the door and distribute more books. Because you know that there's 7 billion people out there. There is a slight chance that we might not meet them all in our lifetime. Just a slight chance. So, we have to involve more people in book distribution. Because there's just too many people out there. We have distributed 2 million hardcover, big and mild, big books in Switzerland. There's 7 million people there. And we've done these 2 million hardcover books, mainly in the German part, which is 5 million. So you can say almost every house, almost every flat has a book of problems. But if you go out on the street, you know that every year there is tens of thousands of students who get out of school and university and who get into jobs, and they have money, and they're out there, they join the workforce, and they have never seen a book of problems. That's a lot of people. So it's like you take cream. You have all experienced it, like, you know, you take a tube and you have too much cream, you know, too much comes out. You can't get it back into the tube because that's the nature of the tube, you know. So then what you do, you don't want to waste, you don't want to throw it away. So you just, you know, you just massage it into your hand, right? And all of a sudden it's gone. And then if you see kids sometimes, they just put more on, right? You put more cream on. and he massaged and it's gone. And he put more on and it's gone. Have you ever experimented with something like that? Huh? It's like brahmacharis and prasadam, you know? You put more there and it's gone. You put more prasadam there, it's gone. They're the same way. We think, oh, we did a few books and now everything is saturated and nobody, you know, nobody needs books anymore. Why are they selling 25 million Bibles every year in America? I think they have a few Bibles in America already. Don't you think? Why every single year they are printing and selling or giving away or distributing 25 million Bibles in America? Because there is no limit. Because people have a tremendous appetite for reading. You may say, like this, the first argument I always hear in every country I go to. Oh, you know, people don't read here. It's the dumbest line I've ever heard in my life. Because you arrive in the airport, what's the first thing you see? Even before you see the duty-free shop, you see the bookstore. You see people reading newspapers, magazines, periodicals, novels, books, textbooks, internet, everybody, text messages, everybody is reading a good portion of the day. Now, as we just heard, they're just doing the wrong kind of things, you know? They're just reading the wrong kind of stuff. So we just have to give them proper books. It's as easy as that. So reading is going on everywhere, at all times. You ever taken a subway or a train or a bus and see how many people are reading? Amazing. Someplace, almost every second person. You know, they ride the bus to work, they commute 1 or 2 hours every day. People are reading. So you just have to give them books. I was arriving in Jakarta Airport, I took the bus to go to the Puncak Temple. How the bus stopped, there was a Muslim gentleman, his little cap and his beard and his long kurta, and he stepped onto the bus and he showed some DVDs. And he spoke about, you know, lectures by different imams, you know, different preachers. Then he went around, he put it in different people's hands, he said a little something. Now I wonder where he gets that from. I really wonder. And he sold quite a number of CDs. And then a couple of stops later, he stepped off the bus. He took the next bus, probably in the other direction. There was an old lady going door to door. And a devotee was very intrigued. You know, Jehovah's Witness. He asked her, excuse me, dear lady. Sorry to ask, I know it's impolite, especially, you know, to women, but can you tell me how old are you? She said, I'm 82. He asked her, sorry for asking, but how often do you do this? He said, 5 days a week, 1 hour per day, I go out. And I witness. I go out to spread the good word of Jehovah. Now if an 82-year-old lady can go door to door, 1 hour a day, 5 days a week, to give out her literature. She's got that conviction. She's got that energy, that strength, that ability to do that. What about us? Why can't we get it together? Huh? Now, okay, you might have a job or 3 jobs. You might have children. You might have mortgages. You might have other service. But every day, you just pick up a few books. You go out and you distribute them. Or if you're in a temple, you might have thousands of people who come and visit your temple. You don't even have to go anywhere, like in Mayapur, right? You just walk around. There's thousands of people every day who are just wandering, you know? And they don't know what's going on. They're just looking at the buildings and looking at the flowers and looking at the people, right? Till you come along and you put a book in their hand. And you say, you know why everything's so nice here? That's the reason. You read this, your life will also become as nice as what you see here. Very simple. Huh? But we think, no, this is Mayapur, you can't distribute books. Remember, my initiation day, Gopunim. I mean, shipping 50 copies of Bhagavad Darshan back to Garden magazine in Bengali, 2 rupees each. And it was a struggle, you know, because people are not always that generous, they're not always that interested. But it was highly purifying. I thought, hey, you know, we're doing it everywhere. But this is the place, you know? This is the place. So let's do it here. So many times we think, oh, we need some big vehicle and we need to go and do big marathon. Why not just start small and build up from there? If every member of ISKCON just starts to distribute a couple of books a month, what will happen? I'm not just talking about the numbers. I'm not just talking about the scores. I'm talking about the spirit. I'm talking about the drive. I'm talking about the consciousness. I'm talking about the mood. Where everybody feels like, hey, we're on the same page here. You know? Let's do this. Let's get rolling. But otherwise, you talk about book distribution and preaching, and people go like, Yeah, we did some books, you know. But we can't afford to have a talent, what to speak of negative, but even a neutral attitude towards Sankirtan. Because this is the process. Harinam Sankirtan is the process of the age. This is the Yuga Dharma. Otherwise, it's like, you know, you're drowning, somebody hands you that rope, and you go, yeah, we'll see, you know, maybe. I'll think about it. Huh? I'll think about it. Can you come Saturday and join us and take it? And I'll think about it. We got to develop some attraction. We got to develop some affection for this activity. Because you know the spiritual world? That's all there is. That's all that's going on. It's all just worshipping and glorifying and serving and, cooking for Krishna and playing with Krishna. It's all part, you know, of the Sankirtan project. As long as we think, oh, okay, you know, I do devotional service from here to there, and the rest of my life, that's my business. Okay, fair enough. You can be a devotee. Not a pure devotee, but you can be a devotee. But if you want to be ecstatic, you want to actually feel the mercy quality of Lord Nityananda, then put yourself in such a situation that you can actually become the instrument. You can actually feel how the potency, how the energy is flowing through you. That is very amazing. And that is very endearing. That makes your heart feel very full. You're very satisfied. And that's what Krishna consciousness is all about. Susukha kartum avyaya. What's the first line? Raja vidya raja guyam savitramidabhutamam evagavaman dharmyam susukam kartum avyayam. Pratyaksha. We get a direct perception, a direct experience of this process. We're not just talking theory here. We're not just throwing around a few nice lofty words, you know. Oh, be nice to people and have love for people and this and that. You might say, I don't feel the love. I don't care for the people. Okay, then you care about yourself. That's the first thing. Do we care about ourselves? Do we care about our own salvation? So if you care caring about your own liberation, you gotta engage in Sankirtan. Because this is the process. It's not by yagya, it's not by dana, it's not by tapa, it's not by all these other processes, by yoga, by karma, no. Only through bhakti yoga, only through the process of Harinam Sankirtan can be achieved, the perfection. And if somebody says, oh, I'm only doing this, this is my service, and this is all I do. Then fine, fair enough. Don't worry about it. But you have to see the bigger picture. Like if you're working in an establishment, and let for instance, you work in a hotel, and your job is that you pick up the phone. You know, you answer the phone. Now, if a guest comes and nobody is there to help him with his luggage, you say, oh no, I just pick up the phone, you know? That's it. I'm not, you know, I have to first ask my authority. If you're in the army, you can be a cook. You can be an officer. You can be a sergeant. You can be a colonel. You can be a driver. You can be a mechanic. You got to know how to shoot a bullet. So if you're an ISKCON, you got to know how to distribute a book. You think that's too radical? I mean, our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, he did it. That was his life. So if the man himself did it, then why can't we do it? Oh, I'm a big this, I'm a big that, I'm a big the other thing. Well, first of all, we're not so big. Second of all, Prabhupada was everything. He did it all. But he truly cared about preaching and book distribution. That's why he put so much emphasis on it. Yes, he wanted farms. Yes, he wanted schools. Yes, he wanted communities. Temples, deity worship, everything. But he made the point that if there is no preaching, spirit, and if there is no book distribution, it just becomes ritual. It just becomes external. Duryodhana has very nice varnashram, you know. Even Hiranyakashipu, his thing was going, you know, flourishing. But there was something lacking. There was something missing. So sometimes we become too much conditioned by having everything nice. Like sometimes you come to an opulent temple or you come to India, the Sharan is great, deity worship is great, everything's great. And you wonder, where's the bliss? You ever wonder? Then you just gotta ask yourself, well, am I engaging in Sankirtan? Or am I a freaking tourist? Now you might be a spiritual tourist. The question is, are we doing Sankirtan? Now we are here in the land of Mahaprabhu to do Sankirtan. That's why we go to the programs and we chant Hare Krishna and we take part in Katha. And then, you know, we go out and chanting party, we distribute some books, or we, you know, have good exchanges with devotees, or we charge our batteries, you know, get enlivened. And we plan and we make strategy. Okay, from here, what's going to happen? So that's your assignment. I want you to write down, what's your plan for 2010? Because we can talk about, you know, book distribution for a long time. But the question is, what are we going to do Monday morning? When everything's said and done, what's going to happen Monday morning? Are we going to bite the pillow? Or are we going to hit the street? That's the question. And everybody has to ask themselves that question. Because if you don't ask that question, I already know the answer. And we'll just go back to, you know, make some money, spend some money. We just go back to survival mode. Well, we're not just here to survive, you know. It's okay to survive, but surviving in Krishna consciousness is nice, but it's not the goal, you know. We should be ecstatic. We should not just be okay. So what's your plan? Write down. What's your plan for 2010? How are you going to engage in book distribution and preaching, and how are you going to engage others in book distribution and preaching? We're going to do it right now. Take a few minutes. If you don't have a paper or pen, just do it mentally, you know? It's 17th of February. Gaur Purim is another 11 days. I'm here in Mayapur. I'll be in India for a couple of weeks. I have time to prepare myself. So now is the time to prepare. It's like in cooking, you know? More than half of the job. It's just getting the right ingredients, having your strategy, knowing what you're going to do, knowing how to do it. The implementation is, you know, it's the important half. But the other part has to be there first. Just like sometimes you're in a temple and you want to go out and distribute books, but you realize that there is no books. Have you ever been in that situation? Huh? How did that make you feel? Pretty sad, huh? Because there you are, all of a sudden you have that big desire to share the nectar, the mercy, and you're like, okay, let's go do it. There's no books for books. Or they took the vehicle and they went, you know, to get the material for construction or something. They'll be back, you know, 2 days later. You're like, what? Excuse me? Or the person who has the key to the book room went to visit his family. So he'd be gone for 5 days. You know all these different types of scenarios which come up? Or they didn't pay the BBT. So you're blacklisted. You're not getting any books. Sounds funny, but you know, it's not so funny once you're actually in a situation like that. Once I flew into Sao Paulo, ready to, you know, rock and roll, to go out and distribute books, and I said, okay, where's the book room? And they all looked at me like, what are you talking about? Book room? And I said, yeah, you know, like where you keep the books. They say, like, we have a library, but we don't have a book room. I say, how can you go and distribute books? Well, we don't distribute books, you know. I said, okay, now we're going to do something. It's called experiential learning, you know. I'm going to punish you. So I took their library and just sold all the books from their library. You know, for your offense for not having a book room, a well-stocked book room, I'm just going to take all your dear reading books and we go out and we sell them. So you're forced to have to get new books. Or sometimes you go and you see the book room is also, the festival go down, is also, you know, the place where everybody throws their trash, and it looks like, you know what I mean. If you want to know the consciousness of a temple, there's three places you can check, or four. You know, one is definitely the temple room, the deity, the other one is the kitchen, the other one is the book room, and the other one is the bathroom, the toilet. If you have seen these four places, you pretty much know what's the pulse, what's the state of affairs in this place. So then you sit down. It's like you want to play a game. So you sit down and you ask, okay, what's the game? What's the game plan? What's the strategy? How are we going to do this? So you're all senior devotees in your own places. So you sit down. We're going to have something open, otherwise we die for lack of oxygen. So you sit down with the leaders of the temple and you discuss, okay, what's the plan? How is it going to play out? How are we going to do this? Who is going to do what? Okay, where are the books? Where are the vehicles? Where are the people? What do we want to do? And then you figure out how to do it. You got to train some people. Okay. Not so complicated, right? Quite possible. Training just happens naturally, ongoing. It's not that you have to go to university or you have to go abroad or you have to study for 15 years. You just learn from others who are doing it. And you hold regular Sankirtan meetings on a weekly or biweekly basis. You hold monthly Sankirtan festivals where everybody in the congregation gets together. They have a katha, and they go out and distribute a few books, Vibharinam, or door to door. Then you come back and, you know, you have a kirtan, and you share realization. People speak about their first Bhagavad Gita, which they distributed, you know. And everybody goes home happy. You create a, you know, user group on the internet, you can do that, and you share experiences and nectar. If you're in an area which is less high-tech, you know a phone tree? You know what a phone tree is? Every school has that, a phone tree. You know, like this person calls this person, this person calls this person, this person calls this person. So this is how you organize your entire congregation. And then everybody just knows, okay, Saturday is D-Day, you know? Time for invasion. And you just know. This group will head out to this spot, this group will head out to that spot, this group will head out to that spot. It's not like rocket science. It's not like building the atom bomb, right? It's just like planning a family picnic. Is it that complicated? No. You invite a bunch of people, you go down to the grocery store, you buy the stuff, like you do normally. And, you know, you cook something up, you offer it to Krishna, you take your instruments, you go out, and you have a ball. So the same thing. It's called a Sankirtan party, you know? It's a party. We have the Mangal party, first party, 4:30. Then we have the, you know, the eating greeting party. Then there's the Sankirtan party. So it's a festival. Every activity in Krishna consciousness is a festival. If you realize that every word is a song and every step is a dance, it becomes quite nice. Becomes quite enjoyable. But it means some of us have to come forward and have to start taking responsibility. Not just for our own coping, not just to find our own spoon, not just to cut our own toenail, but for others. And that's where you get the mercy. That's where you get the special mercy. Because Narayan says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, I believe, that victory for him means to bring one soul back to him. That's victory. So if we say, Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtan, if we say we want to be victorious, you know, Jai, Ki Jai, Ki Jai, Ki Jai, it means victory, right? If you want victory, then we have to start getting off our back and start organizing Sankirtan. Because otherwise it's not going to be victory. It's going to be I, me, and mine. And we already know the blues, right? We've all played the blues before. So how do you organize? Well, you just make a list of what's required, and then you make a list of the people, a list of the skills, and then you make a plan, and you start talking to each other. You might say, okay, I just grab my books and go out. Fine. If that's all you can do, that's great. But if you can engage others, inspire others, train others, that's wonderful. Because most devotees are followers. Few are leaders. Now we all want to be innovators. That's okay. You can do that too. But before you start to improvise, before you start to innovate, learn the baseline. Learn the groove. Learn how to keep a tune. Once you know that, then you can start, you know, doing your thing. How to manage the Sankirtan party? Well, management means common sense. Now, there's nothing as uncommon as common sense in Kali Yuga. So some people have got it and some people don't, no matter what. Now, all life is management. From the point of where you get out of bed till the point you go back to bed. You gotta manage. But if you can't manage yourself out of a wet paper bag, which is open on both ends, then you should be a follower. You should not be a manager. Do you understand the example? You ever had a paper bag? Is it difficult to get out of a paper bag? Now, if the paper is wet, and it's open on both ends, it's not difficult to get out, is it? But some people, they can't get out of a wet paper bag, which is open on both ends. So they shouldn't manage. You can follow others. It's okay. The point is, to organize a Sankirtan party, number one, what's the number one requirement? You have to actually care for the other devotees. You have to have their interest at heart. You have to feel that I'm their servant. I want to make their Sankirtan better. Then you can be a manager. You can even be a leader. It's not just logistics. It's not just figuring out data. Because people are involved. Individuals are involved. Some work well together, some work not so well together. Someone has to have the ability to listen to other devotees. To be sensitive. Not oversensitive, but to be sensitive. And willing to sacrifice for the higher goal. Which means, it may not be our nature to be a leader or a manager. But because we're senior, or we have the ability or the facility, we have to do it. It's an austerity. It's nice to stand in the back, you know? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is calling and he's saying, okay, who comes forward? Who wants to take responsibility? Like Prabhupada used to say, okay, who wants to go to Africa? Any volunteers? Siberia? To the moon? Any volunteers? Now that day will come. There are spiritual masters will ask us, okay. It's nice to sit, you know, at his lotus feet and bask in his glory. That's great. But at one point he might send us out. And he might say, you go and conquer. But I'm just a mouse. So we have to grow up in our Krishna consciousness and in our ability to inspire and to train and to lead others. The main thing is that you actually care for the devotee. And that you thrive. You know thriving? You actually, what's another word for thriving? You flourish. You flourish when you see other people coming up. You feel ecstatic when others are doing more than you are doing. Of course, initially it's a little tough for the ego, you know. Young Bhakta comes after 6 months, does more books than you. I remember I joined in 84, by 85, marathon. My goal was, I wanted to defeat, you know, Rohini Sudha Prabhu. I wanted to do more than him. It was tough, because he was very good, he was very expert, he was very experienced. Even though he's going out short hours, but he's doing a lot of good. But that was my goal. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo dara diti virena bhakti yogane ajita purushapra. Whether you have all material desires, you have no material desires, or you desire liberation, you just worship Krishna. You just go and sankirtan. You want to be a star? Go right ahead. You want to feel free from pain? You want to get out of confusion? You want to get direction in life? You want to know how this game works? Go and sankirtan. You'll learn everything there is to know by doing sankirtan. And the wonderful thing is, your motivation becomes purified. And after a while, you just look back and you laugh, you know? You think like, what was this, what was that, what was the other thing? Yeah? Like that. But if you're just stuck, and we think, oh, nothing's happening, nothing's moving, I can't do a thing, then we won't never really make tangible progress. We gotta use our talent, our ambition, even our attitude in Krishna service. And then we purify. Krishna wants to fight? Okay. Some devotees will take the role of demons to fight this Krishna. Because the ordinary demons are just no match. They're just no fun. So some devotees take the trouble to become demons to fight this Krishna. To give pleasure to the Lord.
One,
point about?
Organization,
yes. You got to work with what you got. I mean, we have some ideal, some romantic notion. You know, we read Radha Damodar, TSKP, we see the pictures, you know, all the huge Greyhound buses, hundreds of devotees, and we think, like, this is impossible. Or something, wow, let's do this now. And both might not be, you know, better let's do this now than this is impossible. But, you know, every big journey starts with the first step. We have to work from where we are now to where we want to be. So what's the first journey? We got to find our spoon. You know what that means? We have to eat some soup. We have to take in the medicine. We have to absorb Krishna consciousness on a daily level. Because sometimes we make big plans, but we forget about, you know, putting gas into the car and paying electricity and phone bill and, you know, ordering books. And we forget about the basics, the essentials. So stick to the basics and you will win every time. You'll actually be successful. So start organizing in an organic way. Where you are with what you got. And then from there you build. From there you can increase. But many times our mind tells us, either we do like this or we don't do it at all. Right? Either we have 20 people going out or I'm not going. I'm staying home. It's no fun. Now even if there is nobody going out except you, it's okay. Better if more people go out. But we can't make our Sankirtan Yagya dependent on how many people show up. Like sometimes I go to give seminars. Sometimes I arrive at the place, there's nobody there to pick me up at the airport. Sometimes you go to a classroom and there's nobody there. And you know, the mind could tell you, okay, you know, let's get out of here. This is a waste of time. Let me go read a chant or distribute some books. But it takes patience. We just have to be patient. Sometimes you go out to distribute and there's not that many people on the street. Or it's just not really happening in the first, you know, couple of minutes or even an hour or two. You ever had that experience? You know, slow start, kind of like not happening. Then you can just say, hey, this town, no good. Jump in the car, drive 2 hours, go somewhere else. Or you can just say, okay, let's think it out, see what happens. Put in our effort, accept it as Krishna's mercy, start praying intensely. All of a sudden, miracles happen. People come out of the woodwork, you know? Did it ever happen to you? Day started off slow and ended off totally ecstatic. Hundreds of times it happened like that, isn't it? I always know. If the first person says no and doesn't take a book, it will be a great day. I already know. Sometimes the first person takes, then after that it becomes tough. But so it's all, you know, it's all your projection. But I have another one. I also know if the first person takes, it will be a fantastic day. So it just depends on your attitude. You may think I'm going out there and I'm breaking rocks, or you may think I will meet 20 potential devotees today. And I will meet 50 people who are very nice and interesting. And I'll meet another 100 people, they'll also buy a book, you know, just to get rid of me or just, you know, because you're a nice guy. So I don't mind either category, either way. And then there will be a few who scream and shout and yell and challenge. That's also fun. You know, you need a little chili, you need a little spice there, you know, something. Because if nobody is upset, that means probably you're not doing anything. You ever realize? If nobody gets upset, most likely you're not doing anything. So, managing Sankirtan party, well, first you have to build up the Sankirtan party. But there's always people around. So we just have to involve them. We just have to build a team. But what was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mood? When he created Namhata, he wrote the outline. What was his position? Was he the king? Was he the emperor? Was he the leader? No. Anybody knows? In the marketplace of the holy name, what was his position?
Sweeper.
Sweeper, yes. He was the servant.
Huh?
Who wants to be the servant? Who wants to be the sweeper? That was his role. Now he was the man himself. He had the plan. He had the vision. He lived over there, you know, and he saw this temple. He was living it. And he wrote it all down. And he considered himself the sweeper in the marketplace of the Holy Name. So the best leader is the best servant. The one who is ready to serve all others. Is happy to carry others on his own head. Like Lord Chaitanya, when that woman wanted to see Lord Jagannath and she stepped on him, he was not upset. Hey, you woman, get off here. I'm a sannyasi. Huh? Vishnu, Vishnu. Where's my danda? No. Govinda. Kashishwar. Beat her up. Huh? No. He would say, how fortunate I am. This lady is so eager to see Jagannath that she has got no sense of discrimination or what's going on, that she's climbing on my shoulder. I want that enthusiasm. I want that eagerness to see Jagannath. So sometimes we have bhaktas and they're like, okay, let's go out and do this. And everybody goes, whoa, 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 slow down, you know. First, you got to sit down and do Bhakti Shastri, and then you take the Brahmachari course, and then you do this and that, and then we'll talk about it. No. The kid wants to go out of the Shivit books, let him go out of the Shivit books. Be there to help, to guide, to support, to make sure that he falls down, you know, I mean, he trips, that he stands up again, when there's obstacles like that. Encourage. Book distribution can be done exclusively or simultaneously or parallel with any other service in Islam. We have GBC members who are regularly distributing Prabhupada's books. I know many sannyasis, they go out and distribute Prabhupada's books. I know many temple presidents. I know many householders. I know many ladies. I know many old men. I know some kids who go out and distribute Prabhupada's books. So we are all young, in our prime age. So there should be no real obstacle. The only obstacle is false ego. I don't want to cooperate. I don't like you, I don't like you, I don't like you. I don't even like myself. Ugh, all bad. Huh? And then it doesn't work. But if we actually let the air out, and we deflate our false ego, and we become, you know, humble, nice devotees, it becomes very easy. Just cooperating. Cooperation doesn't mean that everybody cooperates with you to do what you want. Cooperation is, we see what Guru and Krishna wants, what Lord Chaitanya's plan is, and then we contribute and we become the servant to that plan. Now some serve it in the capacity of leader, some serve it in the capacity of team player, some serve it in a supportive role. If people would be treated properly and inspired properly, we were at a point of Sankirtan, I remember, where people would cook, bake bread, make granola, make tahini, make omazio, bring the veggies, clean the vans, load the books, do the laundry, do all those things. You have to grab if you wanted to do something, because there's so many people who wanted to do it. But that's because the spirit was there. People understood. We were on the same page. We're on the same wavelength. We are in the same boat. We are rowing in the same direction. But otherwise, if it's just you and your little canoe, and you're paddling with one rudder, going in circles, you know, it's not that ecstatic. So, to become a team player means that we put our false ego aside. And we see what's the requirement. What's the need of the hour. Now we have to train, we have to recruit, we have to attract a whole new class of teachers, preachers, and leaders in this Iskcon movement. Otherwise, there'll be a huge generation gap. People are getting older and people are dying. If you haven't realized, if you haven't noticed. A couple of years from now. So, what are we going to do? Drag our feet? Lament? Oh, nobody can do what they're doing. Oh, nobody can do what I'm doing. That's not our philosophy. Prabhupada said, you can do what I'm doing if you follow my example and you follow my instructions. We may do it on our own scale. We may do it in our own way, but we can follow the example. That doesn't mean we dress and we talk and we move like Prabhupada, because that's absurd. But we follow his instruction, we follow his spirit. We understand the true essence, the true meaning. And how do you know the heart? How do you know the spirit of the Guru? You have to absorb yourself in his teaching, in his example. If you've never been on Harinam or on book distribution, you don't know what is Prophet's move. You don't know what this movement is all about. So as time goes on, things become more and more spread out. But we have to make sure that there is a core, that there is a center, which is very well aligned and very well tuned and aligned to Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Any questions about these topics? We're going to finish at 12 o'clock. So, any topic you feel which we haven't covered so far, we talked about consistency, love for people, skills, knowledge, how to shift before dying, detachment, increased scores, interactive people, techniques, inspiration, manage the party, confidence in personal interaction, mantras, a little bit, tolerance, how to do it, become more Krishna conscious, and university values. Anything we missed? Anything we didn't touch on? You got 18 minutes for questions and answers. Yes.
I want to talk about what point.
Yes.
So maybe my mind is attending some nice thoughts. Maybe I have some nice realizations.
Write it down. Whenever you have nice thoughts and realizations, write it down.
Yeah, no, but my question is maybe I have this, but so this is my realization, my thoughts. How I can give others by the same, that they can go the same way, that they can exactly understand what is going on in my mind, in my direction, how I can
exactly
appease them.
Yeah.
This is my
thing. They will never exactly understand. Because every person is individual, and every person is unique, and every person's got his own way of doing things. But they can appreciate. By seeing your example, by hearing from you, by feeling your encouragement, your support, in that way. But that means we can't say, do as I say, but not as I do. We have to actually be exemplary.
This experience which I have now, which I have had, that is like, I'm feeling that I should do it, but I already have my own type of book distribution, my own card, type of mentalities, everything.
If your own card works, that's great. If it doesn't work, maybe you have to change something. You know, there's no harm in trying some new things. You can't always just do the same style. You got to try, you know, develop your ability. Can't be stereotyped. You know, Krishna likes variety. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. Like if I tell you, you know, you'll get right. Okay, and what else? Right? Now we know, even if there's nothing else but book distribution, good. But even in book distribution, there is variety, and there's different flavors. Huh? And it's good to do different types. If something works, that's fine, you know? Don't change horses in the race. But you can always improve, you can always implement, you can always learn new things. Never too old to learn.
It
takes time. A caterpillar doesn't become a butterfly overnight. It takes time. It's meditation. It's a sincere endeavor. You might not believe it. If you see that caterpillar, somebody tells you this is a butterfly, you say, no way. This little fat, ugly thing flying around, beautiful, no way. Well, they've seen it. It's hard work, it's patient. Got to eat a few leaves, you know, it takes time. Got to have faith. Faith is created by hearing and chanting in a protected environment where there's no sadhuninda, no criticizing, no fault finding, no putting down of others or of other services, not thinking, you know, this is superior, that is superior, or I'm doing this service, that's why now this service is so great, so that's why I am so great. Truly see oneself as a servant. Then you can always chant Hare Krishna, and you can always distribute books. And if you truly surrender to the mercy and to the shelter of your guru, you become irresistible. It's not material skill. It's not how you look and, you know, how you dress and all that. I've seen devotees who are so surrendered, they became irresistible. People just couldn't refuse. They just had to cooperate. They just had to get along, to go along with whatever that devotee wanted. There's some associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were so powerful. They were so Krishna conscious that even if the breeze went by them and touched you, you became mad and ecstatic in love of Godhead. Now we think, you know, oh, we distributed a book to somebody and gave us $5 and we think like, whoa, you know, I figured it out, I can do this, you know. Then you try to take it to the next level. You ask people, okay. They took the book, they gave the donation, everything said and done. And you ask them, do you believe in the power of prayer? Most people say, yeah. Okay, can you repeat after me? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And by the way, we have this program here. Would you like to attend? Give me your address, your email, your mobile. Call them up. Write to them, invite them. Really, you know, do that. You try. Might not work with everybody. Not everybody will write back. But people know this person cared about me. And if I want spiritual life, this person can make it happen. That's what people need to know. And once they're ready, they'll know where to turn to. And they will be, because life is rough in the mature world. So to develop that conviction and to develop that deep sense of dependency, that's the art. That's the skill. That's the technique. But it's not something you just draw up on a board and say, oh, that's it, you know. Learn it by heart. It's a gradual process. It's also a momentarily process that you realize, I can't do this on my own. I need shelter. But then it's also a gradual process because it implies so many things, you know. Yes. It's a gradual process. You just know that it takes a certain amount of time. I'm sitting here in this chair in front of you because I've made pretty much all the mistakes in the book and also some which are not in the book. And I know what it feels like. I've had that burnt taste in my mouth and I saw that taste in other people's face, in other people's mouth, when they're not treated properly by me. So, you know, it's okay to make mistakes, but gradually, try to improve. Try not to make the same mistake more than, you know, 10 times. Like, you know, you get absorbed to the Christian and you know, speak with him for half an hour till your head is spinning. And then after, when you walk away, you just take out your notebook and you say, okay, that was Christian 164. What do you think? Is this working or is it not working? I think it's not really working, but it was fun, you know. I really stuck it to the man, you know. I really told him this, that. You should have seen his look, you know, when he walked away, like, really devastated, you know. He was finished, kaput. I lowered the boom on him. But that's not preaching, that's not book distribution. That's just sense clarification, you know. That's like going out there, you know, and hitting the little guy on the head, you know. What's the point? I mean, what's the fun in that, right? But it takes time. It takes time. Don't be too hard on yourself. Don't be too easy on yourself either. You know? Take it easy, but take it. You gotta do what you gotta do. But don't freak out and say, this is too tough, I can't do this. You will make a lot of the mistakes. And the more you become advanced, the more you become sensitive, and the more you become introspective, and the more you actually see what's going on in your mind, in the mind of others, the energy, how it's moving and all that, you know, the more you become aware. But that doesn't mean you become discouraged. Because the more you see actually that it's purely Krishna's mercy. And he's really giving us a chance to become purified and to engage in devotional service. So it's a great opportunity. And Krishna always sends signs and guides and help and encouragement. And there is so much inspiration in this ISKCON movement. It's amazing. It's just fabulous. It's just fantastic. We just have to take proper advantage and not crawl back into our cave, you know, and deal with our mind. But to actually, you know, open up to the Krishna Son and to the association of the Vaishnava. I'm going to be in South Africa soon. Don't worry, I'll come checking on you. Huh? Yeah, that's okay. It's on the map.
What I was thinking of when we discussed techniques and organization, I was thinking, like, in a sense that you have young brahmacharis training them into book distribution, how do we strike the balance in terms of timing, the days we are studying Srila Prabhupada books, attending the temple program, and at the same time going out? What would be your experience with that, like, in terms of timing?
If you're a full-time distributor, you should do minimum 6 hours.
6 hours?
Yeah. That's good. I mean, you know, how much you work in your job? How much do people work when they have a job? 8 hours? 9 hours? And they have a life besides that too, you know? So, 6 hours. Now, if you have a brahmachari training where you have intensive shastra and intensive other types of programs, it might be slightly reduced. It might be 4 or 5. But once you graduate from that and you do it as your full-time service, you should do 6 hours. If you get older after a decade or two, you might reduce, you know, to 4 hours, 3 hours. But then you do the same amount or more than the other guys do in 6 hours. Marathon times, you can go 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours. You know, it depends how much you can handle. But there has to be somebody who makes a plan, who is considerate, who is mature, and who sees that people are properly engaged. That's the ability.
Secondly, I had a question from yesterday. I was thinking that we were discussing the drive of getting people to take the book. But I was thinking, what would be the technique, or give us a little assurance that they will read the book?
Well, if you have impressed upon them that this is something really nice, then they will want to read it. If they have given a proper donation, they will be reminded every time they see those books, hey, you know, there's $20 lying right there on the bookshelf. I better do something about this. That they actually take it seriously. They actually value it. And if you pray to Krishna that please allow this person to get in contact with your mercy, you know, it's visualization. You can project. You can pray for others. You try it. Like every time we went on Sankirtan, we asked for 82 people, please empower us. Give us the mercy to do it. Big, you know? But he said, okay. Because he was very generous, you know, he's a very magnanimous personality. So we took his feet and put it on our head. Now he wasn't, you know, scared or worried, oh, what if I get reactions or this or that. He said, if I have to go to hell so that they can go out and distribute more books, let me go to hell. You know, that's the mood of the gopis. We cannot imitate that, but some advanced soul have that mood. So then we asked, okay, how much mercy? He said, 100 books. I said, what, only 100? You know? Want to do more? Okay, 200. And we went out and we did it. Because if you have faith in the instruction and in the empowerment of the devotee, then you can do it. You've ever tried? You ever asked devotees for blessings? Not just gurus, not just sannyasi, devotees. Every devotee has got blessings. And if you believe in it, it works. And you're unstoppable. You need somebody who's considerate, mature. Because responsibility means, you know, not just an ability to respond, but it also means that you're actually taking charge. You're actually caring for these people. And some can do more, some can do less, different capacities. The main thing is everybody should be positively engaged and everybody should actually get the positive experience of sankirtan. Yes.
I just want to invite everybody to America and join our RBCP SKP party. We're growing nicely and we've got an extra band. Anybody, you don't need anything. Stay for a day or whatever.
Or if you know somebody who's floating around in your area and he's not really plugged into any program and it's not happening, but he would thrive, you know, just send them over there. Do some good.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
On a macro level, how can we really, like, expand the distribution? Let's say we're in a position like what I'm in, or like I'm sure some of these people have temple presidents.
You have to network. You have to figure out who are my allies. Who are the people on my team? Who are my BBT people? You know, start talking to these people. They'd be very happy, you know. Like when you have a business, what do? You start talking to your customers, to your suppliers, to your staff, to the people involved in your operation. And you make sure everybody goes home happy, right? That's what it's all about. And after a while, you see, hey, they're devotees. they're facing their challenges and they're on the same page, you know? They want to do the same thing for Prabhupada. So let's do it together. Because this thing is just too big for a couple of us. We need more people. That means also we have to start talking to the congregational preachers, to the, you know, university preachers, to the gurus, to the managers. You know, it means like the whole thing. And you'd be surprised. Everybody is ready to put in their 2 cents. Everybody's got their own limitations and they got their own agendas or issues. But if you give people the chance to contribute to Sankirtan, to do some selfless service, most devotees will be happy to contribute and to take it up. They may not want to run under RBC, you know, TSKP flag, or this or that or the other thing. They may have their own ideas how they want to distribute books, where they want to distribute books. But for us, it's all good. Hey, you want to go to the beach and, you know, have a kirtan party in bathing suit and give out books to everybody who's on the beach? Go ahead, do it, you know. I'm probably not going to be there, but I'll encourage you to do it. Our devotee is a cab driver. Every person who steps in his cab, he puts bhajan, he talks to them about Krishna, and at the end he gives them a small book. I mean, they can't run anywhere, you know, get to stick it out so the ride is over. And then they give a tip or this or that, and just gives everybody a small book. And at the end of his tin, he's got enough money to buy the next case when the case is empty. So he's just doing hundreds and hundreds of small books. So many devotees have jobs, who have stores, who have, you know, they do some sort of vending thing or whatever. Or they're in some hospitality service where there is, you know, people involved who come and go. I went to a car mechanic and sales ship, and the guy had Bibles there on a little table with a flower vase just in the middle of his showroom between the cars. And I just was intrigued, you know. I asked him, what is he doing? And he told me, you know, he's part of the Gideons, he's giving every month so much money, distributing so many Bibles, this and that and the other thing, you know, like this is just part of his, you know, here we have the cars, here we have the Bibles, and here we have the, you know, the lollipops, it's like, it's just part of his thing. But that means we have to start to see the broader picture. As long as we only see, okay, Brahmachari, Saffron, CSKP, no. There's, you know, the world's bigger than that. I'm not saying you guys are doing that. I'm just giving an example. Or we think that the world is only, okay, you know, householder and problems and economic difficulties. We have to see that there's a lot of opportunities. Some will take it up as a career. Some will take it up part-time. I know that most of the people who I train or who I serve and try to train will do book distribution for a certain period of their life. But that training, that taste, that conviction, that epiphany, you know, an epiphany, it's like a religious experience. When you go, wow! You ever had that experience, that wow experience on the street? Then you thought, this person, I could never have distributed a book to this person. But Krishna gave this person the book. And I was allowed to be there and watch it while it happened. Those moments, those few moments, will carry a devotee throughout their entire lives and nourish them and encourage them and give them the drive to keep on pushing in whatever they're doing. That's why we say it's essential that everybody experiences the Buddha. Essential. Otherwise, all of a sudden, you have people who become leaders, temple presidents, GBCs, sannyasis, gurus. They've never done book distribution. We don't want that to happen. That's why we have to make sure everybody gets a chance. to go out and join the Sankirtan party. Because otherwise it becomes very difficult. You have to start explaining to everybody why we're doing what we're doing, you know, and everybody's like, are you sure you want to do that? You know? They have that look on their face, you know? Start arguing and all that. At one point, you're just not so much into these arguments anymore. At a certain age, you know? But mainly, a lot of times, it's our fault because we just have not included the others. So it takes both things. The art is to be as broad-minded, to accommodate everybody without compromising the principle. That requires maturity. And maturity is developed by hearing and chanting in the association of Vaishnavas and by serving them. And Krishna, within our heart, can grant us that maturity and that appreciation. What does maturity mean? It means we're able to appreciate. We're able to have gratitude. We're able to truly cherish the gift of Krishna consciousness which we've been given. I'd like to thank the organizers of this seminar and the hosts here, Mayapur Academy, our translators, our audience, for being here, taking part in this book distribution seminar. The second part in the samadhi is going to happen in 10 minutes. So I don't want to be an obstacle on your path of devotional service. So I'll stop here. Thank you very much. All those Srila Prabhupada. Harinam Sankirtana Ki
Jai.
Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Prabhupada Chantal Bhakti Distribution Ki
Jai.
Mayapur Navadvip Dhamma Ki
Jai.
Gopi Premanandi
Ki
Jai. Lord Bhaktavrinda Ki
Jai.
We have all 4 days recorded. All 4 days.